Welcome to The Elusive Truth with Rich and Sometimes Larry. On today's show, we're back to the shorts. Got a lot of good compliments, and a lot of people seem to like that. So let's dive right into it. My first short is called Alien Bases in the Alaska Triangle by Night God 33. Now imagine if this was really true. I mean, half of this is true. Project Looking Glass was a project done by the CIA. Let's go down the rabbit hole and check out our next little short.
Declassified CIA documents talk of an underground alien base in the middle of the Alaska Triangle. The Cold War was at its peak, and the CIA had just started experimenting with remote viewers. So they fly in the best, Pat Price, a former California police officer. In his first session, they send him to Russia to report on any nuclear activity. He opens his eyes, and they eagerly ask him to make a sketch of what he saw. His drawing, what you see here. The CIA agents look at each other stunned, and they flip over this picture. He won them over instantly. In the documents, they would describe him as exceptionally accurate. So he starts again, but this time he sees a distractor. A distractor is something that remote viewers see during a mission that pull them in another direction. It would take him to Mount Hayes in the middle of the Alaska Triangle. And what he would see would probably lead to his death. He would discover that an alien race had built a base in the middle of the mountain. They looked just like us, but had different eyes and internals, and humans were working around them. They were monitoring the Cold War and were behind shutting down nukes midair. Declassified CIA documents talk of an underground alien base in the middle of the Alaska Triangle.
And to think, Larry was the only person talking about this stuff. And here's other people. No problems. There's all sorts of crazy aliens all over the place. And the CIA is behind most of it. I'm telling you, clown world, I don't even know where to begin. Okay, for the next little short, we're going to New York City. Apparently, they have a new demonic statue out on display for everybody. This is by Michael Knowles. New York City, demonic statues. Wouldn't believe it until I heard it or saw it. Have a listen.
New York City has just erected a golden demon statue on top of a courthouse near Madison Square Park. And when I say a golden demon statue, I'm not being hyperbolic or funny. It is a gold statue of a demon woman with horns on her head and weird tentacle things for arms, dedicated to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and specifically to Ginsburg's support for abortion. The artist who made it told the New York Times that the statue is part of a, quote, urgent and necessary cultural reckoning underway as New York reconsiders traditional representations of power in public spaces and recasts civic structures to better reflect 21st century mores. The libs and the artists see this as a wonderful thing. The horns on the beast are, according to the reports, meant to symbolize autonomy and sovereignty. Nice enough sounding values, at least until you think about what they really mean. But that is how it always goes.
I've been to New York City several times, and I still can't believe that they put up a demonic statue for everybody to see. That just, it's going too far. This is getting crazier by the day. I hope the best for New York City, but at this rate, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets a lot better. For our next little clip, it's the sad reality inside the Matrix. This is crazy, but it's pretty much true. That's the worst part about it. Living inside the Matrix, the sad reality.
So it's 24 hours to a day. So they tell you you're supposed to sleep what?
8 hours.
And so now you got how many left?
16.
And then you're supposed to work what?
8 hours.
And now you got what left?
8 hours.
You haven't cooked. You haven't got dressed. You haven't said hello to the children. You know, sleep deprivation. That's how they get you. Sleep deprivation. That's why the rich folks, you better not try to call their house after 8 o'clock at night. You work midnight, what they call the midnight shift?
Graveyard shift.
What graveyard mean what?
Death.
Death, okay, death. Why? 90 minutes after the sun go down, your brain get recharged. After midnight, the charging stops. If you're not home by midnight, you turn into a what? Pumpkin.
Into a pumpkin.
What's the only part of your body look like a pumpkin? You can hear.
And we all thought nursery rhymes were just for kids. Apparently, it's describing real life and realities of life. Here we are. Clown world at its finest. All right, changing gears a little bit, we're going to talk about our economy. Our economy is nearing its end. Have a listen. This is interesting because, once again, it's probably going to happen.
The rich world was a population column from 1945 to 1992. With the end of the Cold War, the developing world became a column in 1992 until now. The problem is that this is all temporary, because birth rate keeps dropping, people keep living older, and your column eventually inverts into an open pyramid, upside down. And now you no longer have children, you no longer have a replacement generation at all. And there aren't enough people in their 20s and 30s to buy everything. And there aren't enough people in their 40s and 50s to pay for the retirees. So this decade was always going to be the decade that most of the advanced world moves into mass retirement and the economic model collapses. And next decade was always going to be the decade that that happened to the developing world. And we find out recently that the Chinese have jumped the ship, and this is their last decade too. So all of the globalized connections and consumptions that create the world we know, we are at the end of it.
What'd you think of that? I never thought about all this craziness. The baby boomers and, you know, old and young. And I thought there was more people on the earth now than ever. But apparently the way we spend and the way we're taking care of things is vastly different. But a lot of that has to do with the media. We used to trust the media, and now the media is blatantly giving us their agenda, and it's one-sided. We can go on forever about this. But anyway, we want to keep moving along, and this next one is Bob Proctor. It will make you question reality. Have a listen.
If you ask the average person who they are, they'll give you their name. They'll say, I'm Bob Proctor, but I'm not. Bob and Proctor are two words. My parents give them to me. They're called names, but it's not me. It's my name. Then somebody will say, well, this is me, but this isn't me either. It's my body. Like, you never phone down here to the studio and say, body won't be in today. It's sick. We don't say, am hand or am leg. It's my hand, my leg, my body, my name. Who am I? We live simultaneously on three planes of understanding. We're okay. Spiritual creatures. We have an intellect, and we live in physical bodies. But because we lack awareness or understanding of who we are, we're totally locked into a physical world, and we let things outside of us control us. 95% of the population are reacting to life. They're not really living at all. A person's successful if they know where they are, and they know where they're going, and they're progressively moving in that direction.
So much was said in that short little period of time. That's crazy. He's on to something. Play it again. Listen to it. It's spot on. And now for some current old news. Remember Jeffrey Epstein? Well, apparently his flight logs have been released. Jeffrey Epstein's island flight logs finally released. Have a listen. This is crazy. Crazy world.
So ladies and gentlemen, here's a list of names from the Epstein flight logs.
All right. These are the people that were on Epstein Island. Confirmed by multiple sources. Bill Clinton, George Mitchell, Alex Baldwin, Ralph Fiennes, George Hamilton, Dustin Hoffman, Kevin Spacey, Liz Hurley, Laura Hutton, Janice Dixon, Naomi Campbell, Christy Turlington, Henry Kissinger, which may be one of the most evil men on the world.
He is, yeah.
Joan Rivers, Courtney Love, Mick Jagger, Courtney Guest, Phil Collins, Simon Lebon, Charlie Rose of PBS, Richard Branson, Candace Bushel, Tom Ford, Vera Wang, Nadia Byerlin, Co Stark, and here's some more. Seth Green, James Gunn, Dan Schneider, Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, Stephen Colbert, Kevin Spacey, Kathy Griffin, Oprah Winfrey, Sean Carter, Beyonce Knowles, Anthony Kiedis, John Legend, Christy Teigen, Jim Carrey, Steven Tyler, Ben Affleck, Stephen Collins, Will Ferrell, Eminem, Jeffrey Jones, Victor Salva, Mark Rector, Charlie Sheen, Tyler Grasham, Madonna, Catherine Hudson, Gwen Stefani, Stefani Grimalta, James Franco, Will Smith. Oh, has Will Smith been in the news lately? Justin Roiland, John Cusack, Anderson Cooper, Demi Moore, Brian Affleck, Meryl Streep, Wanda Sykes, Chelsea Handler, Michelle Wolf, Pharrell Williams, Quentin Tarantino, Robert Downey Jr. They are petrified of that list and what those films getting out. They have all the videos of all those people in.
Really?
Yep. it's going to get ugly. They're packed.
So are they going to release those videos, or what are they doing with them?
I'm told that, well, it's looking like they're holding it back, that one person has control of that. But I'm told other people have them and are going to release them at the right time.
So that's a big question. The level of involvement, you know, a lot of very wealthy and famous people travel in small circles. So you have to look how often these people came to the island. Was it functions? Was it parties at the island, you know, or was it specifically involved in these sex parties and stuff? And also, you know, how much did the people going there know? Now, I know that I'm playing it safe, you know, and I mean, it looks bad, of course. It looks really bad. You have to wonder, though, is everybody, because it's a scissor, you get a picture with Epstein. Does that mean you're involved? You go to his house. Does that mean you're involved? I don't know. No, you know, a lot of people went to his house. They were not involved. Okay. Well, you go to his summer home, his vacation home. Are you involved? Well, you know, starts getting a little bit murkier. You traveled with him to his private island on multiple occasions. Are you involved? Well, honestly, a lot of people that met him even briefly say, you know, that you could tell what he was into. It was especially after his first arrests for rape, right, with the minor, not rape, but, you know, sex with minors or whatever you want to call it down in Florida. He was free for a long time after that because he was not, nothing bad happened. Like, he did a couple months in jail, that's it, or probation even. So everybody knew. And so you got to see if these names, if these people were going to the island even after that, then there's no doubt. And like the gentleman in the video said, you know, the idea here is that there's videos on all these people. That's one of the ways Epstein made his money, was through blackmail. He would get people in these situations, get something on them, like a videotape of them having sex with a minor or something like that, and then boom, they would use that to blackmail them. Now, if you think that he stopped doing this, or that all these ultra-famous royals and actors and politicians were going to the island and he was not doing this, you're mistaken. There are tapes of at least the majority of those names somewhere. And like the guy said, they have not been released so far. Somebody has them, and they're going to be dropped at the right time. Or they're still being used to blackmail those individuals. I don't know. What do you guys think? Am I going crazy or what?
I'm just glad more information is coming out on this. But the problem, again, is the media will not put this out. And the majority of Americans and the rest of the world have no clue what's going on with this. And if they did, they wouldn't believe it in the first place. But it's amazing how many high-profile people are into this disturbing behavior. Continuing with current old news, we have Senator Ron Johnson, who's going to talk about the sabotage against the truth. I just wish more people would open up and listen. It shows what's really happening in the government these days. Have a listen. You'll learn something.
Ranking Member Plaskett, members of the Select Committee, thank you for inviting me to testify about my personal knowledge of and experience with federal agencies being weaponized against U.S. citizens. Senator Grassley has just described the most egregious examples undertaken by multiple actors and agencies to undermine and sabotage our joint investigations. But to begin, let me be clear. Throughout my testimony, I am not talking about the men and women in government who conduct themselves with integrity and patriotism. But at the outset, it is important to recognize corrupt individuals within federal agencies that I am talking about are not acting alone. They operate as vital partners of the left-wing political movement that includes most members of the mainstream media, big tech social media giants, global institutions and foundations, Democrat Party operatives, and elected officials. As the Twitter files reveal, these actors work in concert to defeat their political opponents and promote left-wing ideology and government control over our lives. My eyes began opening to this reality with the disclosure of how the Obama administration weaponized the IRS to harass Tea Party groups by denying them tax-exempt status. My personal knowledge and experience with agency corruption began in 2015 when I became chairman of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. My first investigation ultimately revealed the extensive editing of then FBI Director James Comey of his July 5th, 2016 statement that exonerated Secretary Clinton regarding her use of a private email server for official business. The edits were clearly made to downplay the seriousness of her actions. It is important to note those partisan edits were made by the same cast of characters in the FBI that would initiate and drive the corrupt Russian-Trump collusion investigation. During our investigation of the FBI's involvement in the Russian collusion hoax, Senator Grassley and I uncovered and made public highly partisan text messages between FBI employees Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. Strzok's December 15, 2016 test, quote, "Think our sisters have begun leaking like mad. Scorned, worried, and political, they're kicking into overdrive, has never been given the attention it deserves." In 2022 interview with Jeff Gerth, Strzok said he now believes, quote, "that it is more likely the text came not from the CIA, but from senior levels of the U.S. government or Congress." Who might those leakers be? Why aren't reporters who receive the leaks outraged at being fed false information? And why haven't they blown the whistle on the leakers? Why didn't the mainstream media robustly investigate how they were all duped? The answer is, they weren't duped. They were complicit in creating and fostering the political turmoil our country has been experiencing over the last 6 years. Those leaks were a key ingredient in the most destructive political dirty trick in U.S. history, the creation and promotion of the false Russia-Trump collusion narrative. To be most effective, however, that narrative relied on coordination between government actors and the media. And the left had allies in the FBI. Unable to verify the Steele dossier, the FBI offered Christopher Steele $1 million to provide verification. By December 2016, the FBI knew they had investigated Steele's primary subsource as a Russian spy. In the main body of the Department of Justice Inspector General's report on FISA abuse, FBI official Bill Priestap is quoted saying the FBI, quote, "didn't have any indication whatsoever," unquote, of Russian influence on the Steele dossier. Our investigation uncovered redacted footnotes to that same document that completely contradicted that statement. Why would Priestap's false statement appear in the report, but the truth be hidden in classified footnotes? 14 months later, in February 2018, the FBI still briefed the Senate Intelligence Committee that the dossier had validity. When the Mueller report found no evidence of collusion, the left engineered an impeachment of President Trump. The cooperation between the House Intelligence Committee and the impeachment whistleblower remains murky. Then-Chairman Adam Schiff originally denied his committee had contact with the whistleblower prior to the filing of the complaint, a claim Schiff later attempted to walk back. The genesis of the impeachment saga has yet to be fully investigated. It needs to be. Prior to the impeachment proceedings, Hunter Biden's obvious conflicts of interest in Ukraine became public, and Senator Grassley and I began investigating. We didn't target Joe and Hunter Biden. Their actions demanded it. On December 9, 2019, the FBI issued a grand jury subpoena and took possession of Hunter Biden's laptop from John Paul McIsaac, a computer shop owner in Wilmington, Delaware. As the FBI left his shop with the laptop, Mr. McIsaac recalled one agent saying, quote, "It is our experience that nothing ever happens to people that don't talk about these things," unquote. That statement was the opening salvo in a coordinated effort over the next 10 months to sabotage any public revelation of Hunter Biden's laptop or any wrongdoing connected to the Bidens. Senator Grassley has provided a number of examples of that sabotage. And we will release a report that goes into far greater detail than we have time for today. When available, I hope everyone will read it. Perhaps the most egregious and effective act of sabotage against the truth was the public letter signed by 51 former intelligence officials that claimed the laptop had, quote, all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation, unquote. That letter itself was an information operation that interfered with and impacted the 2020 presidential election to a far greater extent than anything Russia ever could have hoped to achieve. Each of those intelligence officials needs to be interviewed to determine how that letter was masterminded. While we all condemned the violence on January 6th, the fervor in which the Biden Department of Justice has pursued those protesters and rioters stands in stark contrast to their lack of interest in the summer of 2020 rioters. Serious questions regarding instances of unequal application of justice and violation of January 6th defendants' due process rights remain unanswered. SWAT team arrests and treatment of prisoners are legitimate concerns. And neither the Senate nor House investigations adequately explained why the Capitol was so woefully unprepared or how many federal agents and informants were in the crowd. COVID has exposed the awesome power that can be misused by government officials. The loss of basic freedoms has been nothing less than breathtaking. Our response to the pandemic has been a miserable failure. Over 1 million lives lost, the human toll of the economic devastation caused by shutdowns that did not work.
The truth is finally coming out. I just hope more people listen to this and understand it, because it was right in front of us the whole time. A few of the people in our government have totally made it bad for everyone. Just look at the current administration, Biden. Horrible, horrible. And we're just beginning now to feel the consequences. Seriously, it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better. So let's put the political corrections in the trash where it belongs. This is BPR. Another little quick snippet. Have a listen.
We have 8 million plus Muslim Americans in this country, and I don't see them represented here. The jihadist ideology that you talk about, it's an ideology.
There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world today. Of course not all of them are radicals. The majority of them are peaceful people. The radicals are estimated to be between 15 to 25%. You're looking at 180 million to 300 million people dedicated to the destruction of Western civilization. That is as big of the United States. When you look throughout history, when you look at all the lessons of history, most Germans were peaceful, yet the Nazis drove the agenda. And as a result, 60 million people died. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. Russia, China, Japan, September 11th, the peaceful majority were irrelevant. It is time we take political correctness and throw it in the garbage where it belongs and stop calling it fair.
I find it highly amazing that how a few people control the masses, just like it's happening today. We need to stand together. We're more powerful than them, but we must stand together. Anyway, I was thinking, so much doom and gloom and all this craziness and demonic statues, and I'm just tired of this. So I wanted to do something with some funniness, some comedic actions. And believe it or not, Sky News beat me to the punch. They got Ricky Gervais. He's slaying the woke gender. Have a listen.
Yes, we have long said on this program that the greatest weapon against the craziness of modern leftist ideologies is a decent sense of humor. And in the last few days, we have finally seen the war against wokeness shift into a whole new gear as the entertainment business and the big tech billionaires start to realize that if you go woke, you go broke. And the converse is true. laugh at wokeness, chortle at the insane idiocies of the left, and you will be rewarded. The dam has finally burst. This week, Ricky Gervais slayed the woke dragon in a 60-minute special that tore down one woke taboo after another.
Women. Not all women. I mean the old-fashioned ones. You know, the old-fashioned women. Oh, God. You know, the ones with wombs. Oh. Those dinosaurs. No, I love the new women. I know the new women. They're great, aren't they? You know, the new ones we've been seeing lately. The ones with beards and they're as good as... They're as good as gold. I love them. No, it's the old-fashioned with it. And now the old-fashioned, they go, oh, they want to use our toilets. Why shouldn't they use your toilets? For ladies. They are ladies. Look at their pronouns. What about this person isn't a lady? Well, his penis. Her penis, you f***ing bigot. What if he rapes me? What if she rapes you?
But Ricky Gervais isn't alone. Here is the equally brilliant comedian Dave Chappelle, also tackling and toppling wokedom recently.
Gender is a fact. You have to look at it from a woman's perspective. Look at it like this. Caitlyn Jenner, whom I've met, wonderful person. Caitlyn Jenner was voted Woman of the Year. Her first year as a woman. Ain't that something? Beat every Detroit, she's better than all of you. Never even had a period. Ain't that something? Oh, I'd be mad if I was a woman. I'd be mad if I was me. If I was in a BET Awards sitting there and they're like, and the winner for of the year, Eminem, my man. Gender is a fact. This is a fact. Every human being in this room, every human being on Earth, had to pass through the legs of a woman to be on Earth. That is a fact.
So if you missed Dave Chappelle's gag there, he was basically saying that if there was an award for the best African-American rapper and it went to Eminem, who is, of course, a non-African-American rapper, he would be as perturbed as all women should be at Caitlyn Jenner's.
See, we just need a little humor in our lives. Put a smile on your face. Get rid of some of this negativity that we got going on. And continuing with that, can you believe it? Saturday Night Live. Now, most of you listening probably don't remember, but back in the day, when we're talking about like the 80s, 70s, Saturday Night Live was actually very funny. Then something around 2000s and up, it started getting really bad, and especially nowadays. But believe it or not, I saw this little commercial that they put on, and it was actually really funny. I was surprised. It really sums up this woke ideology that we have going on with a pair of Levi's jeans. Have a listen. Saturday Night Live. Funny, actually.
My jeans tell me I'm a man.
My jeans tell me I'm a woman.
They tell me I'm relaxed.
That I'm skinny.
A child.
Yo, you don't know me, jeans.
I'm not a style.
I'm not a size.
That's not me.
I am not a child.
I'm me.
I'm unique.
I'm woke.
Woke, woke.
I'm woke.
So, why aren't my jeans?
Now they are. Introducing Levi Wokes. Sizeless, style-neutral, gender-nonconforming denim for a generation that defies labels. Levi's heard that if you're not woke, it's bad. So we made these.
Defining someone by their style? That's offensive.
That's why Levi Wokes have no style.
What's my size? Why don't you try asking me about my accomplishments?
My Wokes are size me.
They fit everybody.
Because they fit nobody.
So what colors do they come in?
Colors?
I'm triggered.
This color. Can you label this color?
That is the color Greb.
They not brown, but they not brown.
It's a handful of colors, none of which are dominant.
Just like our country.
Oh, wait.
Whoa.
best talk pockets.
Pockets sold separately.
Yo, who says I have hands?
You getting this yet? The jeans are woke.
Whoa!
Do they come in men's and women's?
Nah.
Do they come in person?
What do you think?
That's why woke's got Unifly.
180 degrees of gender nonconformity.
My jeans let me decide how I go to the bathroom.
Do yours.
What don't you get? They woke.
Woke.
Get woke.
We're woke.
Yo, hold up. Are my wokes made in some factory by Indonesian kids?
Nah, they're made right here in the USA.
By white kids.
Woke up with Levi Wokes.
Woke.
Levi Wokes. Available exclusively at Ross.
Woke jeans. Get them while you can. To continue with the humor, I was thinking about Saturday Night Live, Matt Foley, Van Down by the River. Do you remember that one? I certainly do, and it warmed my heart to watch this one again. So I'm going to play it for you. Definitely enjoy this. This is comedy at its finest before we had too many restrictions and controls put in place. So have a listen. Saturday Night Live, Matt Foley, Van Down by the River. It's definitely funny. You got to watch it. It's definitely better than just listening to it, but you'll still laugh. I guarantee it.
Hey, Mom, Dad.
Brian, Stacy, your mother Ellen and I are so glad you decided to join us for this family communication session.
So what's up? You guys getting divorced or something?
No, we just wanted the family to talk as a group.
Okay, well, let's get it started then.
All right, well, Stacy, Brian, your father, Ted, and I are a little bit concerned. Celia, the cleaning lady, was in the family room and she found a bag of pot.
She didn't smoke it, did she?
No, she didn't smoke it.
Now, we're not here to come down on you. I mean, that's not what we're about, okay?
Just concerned that pot could lead to other things.
Crack, ice, boom, pow.
But we know you don't want to hear this from us.
Sure, I mean, we're your parents. Who wants to hear this stuff from their parents, eh?
But your father and I came up with a brilliant idea to give you kids some direction. A motivational speaker.
Yeah, one of those guys who speaks to big groups at high schools and churches.
You mean to come to the house?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. All right, later.
Thanks, anyway. Hey, come on, you guys. This set me back a few bucks. Okay, his name is Matt Foley. Now, he's been down in the basement drinking coffee for about the last 4 hours, and he should be all ready to go. I'll call him up. Matt, we're ready for you. His speech is called Go For It. Now, he's used to big groups, so make him feel like there's a crowd here. Matt, come on up, buddy!
All right, how's everybody? Good, good, good. Now, as your father probably told you, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. Now, let's get started by letting me give you a little bit of a scenario of what my life is all about. First off, I am 35 years old, I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river. Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river. Now, young man, what do you want to do with your life?
Actually, Matt, I kind of want to be a writer.
Well, la-di-frickin-duh! We got ourselves a writer here! Hey, Dad, I can't see real good. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Huh? Well, actually, Matt, Ellen and I have encouraged Brian in his writing.
Dad, I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Now, I wonder, Brian, from what I've heard, you're using your paper not for writing, but for rolling doobies. You're gonna be doing a lot of doobie rolling when you're living in a van down by the river. Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river. Now, you kids are probably asking yourselves, hey, Matt, how can we get back on the right track? Well, as I see it, there is only one solution. And that is for me to get my gear, move it on in here, because I'm going to bunk with you, buddy. We're going to be buddies. We're going to be pals. We're going to wrestle around. Old Matt's going to be your shadow. Here's you, here's Matt. There's you, there. Whoops-a-daisy. Whoops-a-daisy. By God. We're going to have to clean that up later. Me and my buddies, my pals, my amigos. I'm going to get my gear.
Wait, yeah, Matt, you don't have to go.
No,
Matt,
you don't
Matt.
Have to do that. We'll never smoke pot again.
Matt, thanks for all you've done.
I don't give a rat's behind because I'm moving in. I'm sick and tired of living in a van down by the river.
Is the back door locked?
Yes. We love you, Dad.
I love you, too.
Saturday Night Live, 1993. That was awesome. Laughed all the time. But check it out. Definitely go online. Look it up. It's funny, too. You got to watch Chris Farley. Rest in peace. Comedic genius. But that's what we need in this world. Like I said, more laughter, more love. And with that, we're ending this episode of The Elusive Truth with Sometimes Larry. And speaking of Larry, I did speak to him. He's doing much better, but he did have a small setback. Apparently, he fell off a deck and he broke his arm in three places. Only Larry could do that. He's the finest. I'm telling you, he's going to be on here shortly. Promise you. With that, we love you. You guys take care. Keep looking for The Elusive Truth. Keep up them high vibrations. God loves you, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.